Okay, welcome everybody. This is Amy Jones from the Institute for Life Coach Training. We're glad that you could join us today. We have Catherine Morissette, who is an ILCT faculty member specializing in resilience, here with us to talk about resilience in this currently turbulent time in the world. And Catherine, please take it away.
Thank you. Thanks, Amy. I feel privileged to be here today and to maybe do my a little bit to hopefully help you go through this turbulent time, as Amy just said. I think it's for many people, this is really, we never saw this, well, none of us saw this coming, right? And it takes a lot out of us to just deal with everything. So let me introduce a little bit what I'd like to do today, and then I'm going to ask you what would make this call valuable, and we will leave you time to in Q&A in terms of just telling me so that I can really make this call valuable for you. So I've been working in the field of resilience for about 28 years, and I do train people, I coach people about that, both on a personal level and also for organizations. So I've seen a little bit, I've actually had a call already this morning with an organization trying to convert the way they work to a virtual work and seeing what happens with their teams and what they can do and how they can improve, not only at work, but suddenly it seems like everything is getting mashed up. So you go from having a very specific area where you work, you drive to work, there's a transition time, you get to work, and then you come home and there is a door. It's almost like a physical door between work and life. And for many parents right now, everything is just mixed together. So we really want to actually see what we can do and how we can address this. And let me start by defining resilience for you. Resilience is about bouncing forward. It's about propelling yourself forward. It's about taking yourself through this and even maybe thriving with it and certainly growing with it. It is not about bouncing back. Bouncing back is an engineering term, and it, you know, none of us can actually go back into the past. And I'm sure that many of us, including myself, have wondered, where was I 6 months ago? Where was I 3 months ago? Where we never saw this even as a possibility. So my goal for today is, how can we really help ourselves to get through these extreme and unusual circumstances? And what's in our power? What can we do? What do we control? And how can we actually feel like we are building a sense of transitory new normal? And so we all have probably different situations. And even, you know, with speaking with clients over the last 2 or 3 weeks or with my family, some of us are working from home, both spouses with 3 kids under the age of 10. Some others are losing their job and wondering, you know, what they're going to put on the table next month or how they're going to pay rent. Some others are working frantically to support their business and keep going and maybe totally change their business from an in-person to a virtual mode. Or maybe you're alone at home and you're working, but you really feel the weight of the loneliness. So I know we have an hour together. An hour is not a very long time, but I'd like to address as much as possible what your concerns are today. So my question to you is, what would make this call the most valuable for you in your life right now? What do we need to address? So I'd like, Amy, if you could open if you unmute everyone so we can actually talk a little bit about this. I'll leave you a couple of more minutes. You know, just talking a little bit about, you know, we are all scrambling right now. So how could we make today better? How could we make the most of this conversation?
This is Nanette McIntyre. I'm in California. And thank you for this, Catherine. I would love some specific tools. both personally. I do live at home. I do work. I'm now working at home. I'm a coach as well. And so some tools, both for myself, for my clients, for my friends, the people I love. So things specific to managing how to be resilient in this bouncing forward, propelling forward way. I would love that.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Catherine, this is Jackie Elsom.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, thank you so much for this opportunity. My question would be, how do we bounce forward, not knowing what forward is? What mindset do we need to have when we keep hearing this is a temporary situation?
Absolutely. Good question. Thank you very much. Thanks, Jackie. Someone else? Okay. I will leave you space through this conversation today if you have more questions. So now I'm going to go and answer, first of all, Nanette's question, and then I'll go with Jackie. I'm going to explain from a bigger picture perspective, and I'm going to look at this, you know, special tools for you, Nanette, and for your friends and for your clients. I think that the first tool I want to share with you, and it's really not a tool, it's more like it's a very basic statement. Number one, we need to address reality. And I think that wishing that reality would not be that is not going to work. So that's number one. Underneath that is the fact that whatever you do, you need to put yourself front and center. You need to actually take care of yourself. So I'm going to divide the approach I'm going to take to building resilience during this time in a three-dimensional fashion. So everyone has heard about work-life balance. What we don't usually realize is that there is a third one, and the third one is self. In other words, you do it all. You do what's on your to-do list. And I'm pretty sure, because I've asked this question for a long time, that if you have a to-do list, you might not even be there. And especially when there are large disruptions, like something that of this magnitude happening, it's real easy to put what used to be a habit for us to the side, just because at this point, it feels that in the magnitude of what's happening, your habits matter so little. And what you do on a daily basis matters so little. So we're going to anchor this conversation into today. Today, this day, what you do today to support yourself, to support your family, to support your clients matters. And how can we make it better? So dividing it into a three-dimensional approach. And to really start to structure your days in order, knowing full well that you have no idea what the future holds. But then we didn't know before what the future holds. We can hope for the best. We can certainly plan in consideration of what might happen, but nobody is 100% sure of what the future will bring. At any point during our life, we're always going to have this uncertainty. Maybe right now it's much closer to you. It's a month from now, it's 3 months from now. What is this next future going to look like? The power we have today is number one is making today as best as possible. So making today better. And number two is about creating a structure, even if that structure is very temporary, a structure that actually works for you. Knowing full well again that you are part of that structure, you need to take care of yourself. So the special tool that I would say to my clients is how can you take care of yourself today so you show up at your best? That would be my number one. And so it might look like a philosophical question, but it's not at all. For that person, it might mean, you know what? I need to actually have a break. I need to actually take downtime for me instead of rushing from work to my kids and trying to parent kids while putting in all the hours of coaching or whatever work I've been doing today. And it's actually, it might be as simple as I need to get enough sleep and I need to put myself on a news diet so that I only watch news for what's important to keep on top of what's going on today in the world, in my area, and then turn it off. So I'm not constantly feeding fear, uncertainty, anxiety. So in that three-dimensional model, I would like you to take a moment and maybe just write down, if you're going to make today matter, what really matters most? One thing in each one of those dimensions. And I'm not talking about big picture. You know, I'm talking about a small thing you can do for yourself that is not perfect, but that is good enough for today. In each one of those three dimensions, work or your contribution, your family or your personal life, and yourself, how you care for yourself. So when we're talking about the mindset we're establishing here is one of optimism, of taking control over what we can, instead of trying to take control over what we cannot control. And it's a sense of vision of the future and appreciation of today. So if you're a coach, I'm going to, you know, and you probably are, I'm going to repeat the four areas. It's optimism, taking control, vision, so looking forward, and appreciation of what is now. And these four different dimensions, if you look at them in within the three-dimensional approach of work, family, personal, and taking care of yourself, you need to actually not only plan for the future, but you need to look at what is today. What can you take control today? How can you keep your optimism today as opposed to letting anxiety and stress build? How can you build your mental health today? How can you help your physical health today? So I'm going to open again the floor to questions, and I'm going to take on two more questions. And my format today is really about more like going into with questions as opposed to try to give a big lecture, because I think that's going to connect better with you. So again, the same questions. What would make this call the most valuable for you today? And if you have any clarification or want to comment about what I just said, please feel free. So Amy, if you could unmute.
Everybody is unmuted.
Thank you. What are your challenges right now?
This is Lisa. I'm going to be brave and tell you that being brave is one of my challenges. getting fear out of the way about launching a business during this time of really steep learning curves in almost every area of our lives, and wanting to acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. But getting fear out of the way, I guess, would be a very resilient thing for me to do. And I'd like to know how to do that today.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll see how I can help you with that. Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. Yeah.
Thank you.
Someone else.
This is Gwen.
Hi, Gwen.
Hi. I am struggling with keeping the structure. I've created a calendar so that I can go about my day as if I were at work, because I'm working from home. Mm-hmm. And I lack discipline. Mm-hmm. I've been getting distracted a lot. So what I'm trying to control today is eliminating distractions, not answering the phone, not checking the news. See, there's that phone. So that I can focus. I lack focus.
Okay. Good. So let me start with, I'm going to start with Gwen, okay, and then move on to Lisa. And again, I'll reopen the floor for more questions in a few minutes. I think that the first thing about, you know, keeping structure, and you're talking about being distracted, and I'm going to tell you, you know, very tongue in cheek, and I hope you'll understand why I'm saying that, is turn off your phone. You know, put it on silent, put it upside down. If you want to eliminate distraction, it's going to have to come from you. I'm going to share a couple of tips, but the number one tip is, if you want to eliminate distraction, you want to eliminate the source of distraction. So the source is, you know, alerts on your phone. So I have my phone here is turned upside down. It's on silent. I will not be distracted during this call. This is my commitment. So commit to yourself not being distracted. That might mean turn off the alerts on your emails. It might mean close your door. It might mean anything that, you know, turn off your internet if you don't need it, so you're not tempted to go and watch the news. And it's doing those literally to put in place a system that makes it harder for you to actually be distracted. So that's number one. Number two, if you have been trying to keep focus, know that when we are in moments of extreme disruption, what's going on right now, extreme circumstances, again, it's really hard not to feel that we need to address something else. This is what stress does to us. Stress is, you know, fight, flight, or flight, or fight. And it literally, we need to be aware of everything that could happen just in case there could be a grizzly walking in. And so right now your brain is going everywhere and trying to keep, to make sure that there is no grizzly attacking you from left field. And this is why it's so much harder than usual to actually keep focus. So it adds, if you want to the difficulty of focusing. So it's not only the system, the logistics that I just shared with you, which is one small way to do it, but it's also looking at it in the bigger picture that we will be a lot more tempted to actually watch the news, to actually address those distractions, simply because we are stressed. And the stress is actually comes from this general anxiety of knowing, protecting ourselves, not knowing what the future can bring, looking around, making sure that our family is safe, and so on and so forth. So once you know that, I would suggest a couple of things. Like number one, and everybody knows that, is really lowering your stress level will have an impact. And I know that everybody keeps saying that, but even if you had on your phone a meditation app such as Aura, Calm, Little Buddha, that's a 3-minute meditation, and you just breathe, the breathing will activate your relaxed brain, if you want, instead of going on stress constantly. So that slow breathing that meditation will bring to you will actually make a difference. And the thing is, we think it's so small. We're talking about 3 minutes. It couldn't possibly make a difference. But consider something as simple as brushing your teeth. It might take you 2 minutes a day, but you wouldn't actually get out of your home without brushing your teeth. You know, you don't dismiss it as being useless because it's short. So when something is too simple and too small, we often tend to dismiss it as needing something that's bigger. And I would say that's my number one, is do that meditation or do this slow breathing to lower your stress level, because that's going to help you focus.
Okay.
So aside from that, I want to share with everyone something else to lower, if you want, your level of distraction, and it's called serial tasking. And serial tasking is literally training your brain to be totally focused for a very limited amount of time. That's going to really help you take back control over your mind instead of being distracted. So basically, you're making this little mini contract with yourself where you're going to have no distractions for 10 minutes and use a timer, literally turn off
all alerts except one timer. You're going to set up that timer at 10 minutes, choose something to focus on, and focus entirely without distraction, without interruption for only 10 minutes. Only 10 minutes. And that's something else. You're retraining your brain to actually learn to focus. So again, we're addressing something that, you know, might say distraction from different perspectives. We're looking at different tools that can help you lowering your stress, okay? Turning off the distractions, doing serial tasking, all of these are going to help. Now, I'm going to add something else, and that is an answer to both you, Gwen, and to you, Lisa, about being brave, etc. Please do not skip self-care, including and particularly sleep. The minute you actually start having less sleep, because of whatever reason, such as watching the news late at night would be a favorite for most people, you're going to feel a lot more stressed. So when you don't have enough sleep, your body will feel unusually stressed. So once you know this, I think that it helps you kind of put together a little bit of a structure that could be helpful. I'm not talking about by the minute, but try a few things today and don't try to plan for, you know, this and doing this every day, et cetera, but rather try this today and see how it works. And if it works, well, that's something to work on and to continue. And know that there won't be one single tool that's going to take care of everything. So you need to actually be aware, to be patient with you, to try something that's not going to be perfect, but that's going to be good enough, that's going to really give you some relief. So Okay. Keeping that structure could help. Good. So moving on to you, Lisa, about being brave. And first of all, my heart is with you. And secondly, it takes a lot of courage to do that. And your privilege of helping some people very close to me do this right now. And I have seen how much it demands and how challenging it is. I think that not knowing what stays in the future is that sense of believing in yourself and believing that you're going to make it through. Not letting yourself get overly tired, because that in itself is going to bring you down. Giving yourself enough time to rest, to recharge every single day, to close the door to your business, to not try to push forward no matter what and work, you know, 14 or 16 hour days in the hope that that's going to make a difference. But to know full well, Lisa, that you are in charge of that business. You make it happen. You need to take care of you. And that in itself is going to help you keep on that courage, because courage is also related to how much reserves you have, how many resources, how, you know, if you're exhausted, you're probably not going to be very optimistic. And it's just about, in order to launch a business, we need to be there for ourselves. And I would say that this is number one. I've been in business pretty much all my life. I've been through a lot of difficult times, including this one. It's really important for us to put ourselves front and center of our self-care program, you know, and whatever that means for you, it could mean I need to close the door to work at 5:30 at night and go for a walk. You know, and to literally have a transition between my work day or my business work day and just my personal life. It means keeping on with other interests. And it could be like you're at home and you want to do a little project. It means taking care of you as much as possible. And I don't know how helpful this is in terms of being that specific, but I would say that taking care of you, and I've had these conversations a lot in the past few weeks with people in business, is by far the best you can do for yourself, because you need to be there for you, not only now during this time, but after, when we have this new normal, which we don't know what really is going to look like. How can you be there for you now and later? So structuring your workday will matter. And I go back to that 3D model, like model, making sure that you leave enough space for each one of them and not actually put yourself at the bottom of your to-do list, if at all. Good. I would like to add one more topic to that, which is also look at, based, Gwen, on what you say, and Lisa as well, and I guess sometimes we talk about managing our time, you know, when in those times, and I'm thinking also about managing our, not only our time, but our energy and managing our space. And what I mean by that is managing your time might be doing the serial tasking. But I'm sure that you have moments, especially when something, when you feel like you're not as, you're a bit more anxious, that you really can't focus, you know, take a break and go and rest and recharge your energy, because it's not time that you need at that point. It's really fueling your energy. And that in itself is going to make you a lot more productive. And a space, you know, creating space around you for yourself. So creating space between demands on your day. So not expecting you're going to go for full coaching sessions all the way to parenting kids or to being there for your family and being either the parent or the helper. And to really start creating that space for yourself within each one of your days. Thank you. So I'm going to move on to the next, if someone wants to comment, wants something more on the topics we just discussed, or has a new question. And again, how can we make a question? Yes.
This is Kim Green. And I just wanted to ask, it's sort of an impossible question, but maybe you can try.
I like impossible questions.
It's like, I just wonder how we cannot, I mean, obviously we all feel helpless. Mm-hmm. But when we're coaches and people are coming to us, I mean, I had a client stop today saying, crying on the phone, I just can't focus. I can't pay attention to what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And so I said a lot of things about my support and I'm here for you and just take your time and do what you need to do and all of those things. But how do we handle feeling helpless and being helpless when we can't help our clients, and how do we make them feel at all strong in this terrible time?
Okay. I think I'll address it first and then I'll move on back to further questions. Thank you, Kim. This is not an impossible question. I think that, first of all, we can help, or, you know, the point is, can we help our clients? Mm-hmm. Or rather, can we help themselves, you know, support themselves? And you're saying we're helpless. No, we're not. I'm sorry, but no, we're not helpless. Mm-hmm. I can choose to focus on my helplessness in this. So I can choose to focus on my appreciation of what is right now. And I mean, there are definitely things that are really scary in life right now, but if I'm going to bring it back to today, today is a beautiful day. Today is spring. My kids are well. Mm-hmm. You know, my friends, I'm keeping in touch with my friends. These are powerful moments. Mm-hmm. This is not helplessness. Helplessness is feeling that you're giving your power. And what I'm saying is, no, this is not the way to go. Let's take our power back and decide that we are going to make this better. Mm-hmm. We have a choice here. We can decide to give our power away and say, well, we'll wait until this gets better. People stop getting sick. The government is going to do something. Or we can say, just a minute. I'm going to do what I can to make this day better. How can I make today better? So your clients, you know, the feeling, the perception of being helpless is what is actually, victimizing people in some ways, but it is a perception. We're not helpless. We are dealing with a reality that is not what we'd like it to be. We're really getting a lot of big wake-up calls, but within that, we do have a lot of power. I can choose today whether or not I'm going to take care of myself and sure make sure that I'm not getting sick. I'm going to keep my physical distancing. I'm going to, but on the other hand, I'm also going to stay in touch with my kids. I'm going to have, my husband has been stuck in another city for a month. I'm going to have dinner with him tonight on my laptop. So we're going to share this moment together. I'm not helpless. Mm-hmm. So helplessness is might be when coaching a client to actually help them find a power within themselves to take control over what they can, instead of trying to control what they cannot. I cannot control COVID-19. I cannot control, you know, over people who are not taking this seriously, but I can certainly take control on how I'm going to take care of people who are close to me. I'm going to make sure that they take this seriously. I'm going to invest in them and support them when they need to. And that is the message we could give to our clients as well. Take control over what you can and let go what you can't. And I think that, by the way, this is something we need to tell our clients or to make our clients aware of, not only during this time, but during all the time, where how many times have I seen people saying, well, I can't do anything about X. You know, we try to control the weather, government, politics, you know. But the thing is, what can we control right now in my day? What do I have control over? What can I structure in my life to make not only today, but this week and next better? Mm-hmm. And what is going to lead me forward so that at the end of this transition period, I'm going to be there and I'm going to be strong and I'm going to keep going. That takes a lot of belief, self-belief. And maybe that is the message we need to actually send out to our clients, is self-belief. Taking control over what they can, empowering themselves to make the small changes that propel them forward. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you very much. That helps a lot. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good. Someone else? Any other question coming this way?
It's Elaine speaking.
Yes, hi.
Hi, I just want to know, how do you stay motivated throughout the whole thing? Like, you give yourself some small goal to attend, but motivation sometimes is not there. So do you have any advice about that?
To stay motivated, I think that motivated will go a bit up and down according also to your level of energy. So if you're seeing yourself as being less motivated, and I'm not sure what you're when you're talking about motivation, what you are you talking about motivation for your day, motivation for your business? Can you clarify a bit more?
My day, like all the activities I have to do.
I can't hardly hear you, Elaine.
Oh, sorry. Hold on. Okay, is it better?
Yes, it is better. Yes.
Okay. Basically, it's a motivation for the activities I want to do. Like, I have a to-do list, but sometimes it happens that I will just push it aside and say, oh, I'm not feeling like doing that today kind of thing, and just, you know, lazy around the house. So it's basically an individual situation.
Merci. Yeah, sometimes the to-do lists are, they're kind of a bit like what I call New Year resolutions. You know, everybody has heard, you know, you have a New Year resolution. It's not something particularly appealing. You know, New Year resolution for most people is getting fit, or, you know, going to a gym or losing weight. It's not stuff that seems like fun for most people. So if your to-do list feels more like this, that's just a list of chores, well, there's, you know, I would say you need to have a to-do list that has also some rewards to make it a little bit more balanced. Okay. And that a to-do list is not only about, oh my God, I need to do the next thing on my list. And to also, sometimes people, their to-do lists are absolutely overwhelming. You know, I've seen people who have 397 items on a to-do list and it renews overnight. They don't even look at it and it refills. And some people never finish their to-do list. It's always there. And they're not even there. They're not like, they have the garbage there, they've got the spring cleaning, but they are not part of their to-do list. No matter, no wonder you don't want to do it. It's like, okay, life is a chore. So you need to make that to-do list a lot more appealing. So that's number one. Number two, you need to make smaller steps. So maybe spring cleaning is really not a good item for a to-do list. You need to actually break it down into very small objectives. Maybe today you're going to wash your desk in your office. And then at the end of doing or cleaning your desk, you say, wow, this is really beautiful. And I can have that little space for myself and I can enjoy that moment. So it's moments of maybe having something to do that feels like a chore, but then actually to appreciate it and to enjoy what you've done, as opposed to moving on to the next item. Oh, well, I've got my, well, since that I've cleaned my desk, now why don't I wash the walls and then clean the windows? And I've done this and you're exhausted. So of course you're going to not want to continue. So the motivation, it could be a to-do list such as this one. It could also be a business to-do list where I need to update my website, to update my Instagram, to update my Facebook, to write a new blog post, to email everyone I know, and so on and so forth. And then you never finish. So actually, this is what I mentioned earlier, close the door. So at some point, you've got to decide, this is enough. This for today is enough. This is good enough for today. Whether it's your to-do list for home staff, for family, or for your work. And it's having a sense of measure. I find that we live in a society that's so perfectionist. And so we try to do it all and we want to be perfect and to have that perfect, you know, workplace and workspace and, you know, to basically do as much as we can. And we don't consider that we're not robots. We're humans. We're human beings. We're not human doings. We need to actually take a moment and say, hey, I, as a human being, deserve to take a break. Okay, Elaine, I want to give you a homework. Are you open to
okay.
that?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Today, I don't know where you are, but my feeling is you're somewhere in Canada, right?
Yes, I'm in Ottawa.
Okay. I would like you to take a moment and go outside for 15 minutes and do nothing except listen to the birds or do something okay. that sounds. Do nothing. Enjoy what is instead of trying to do more. And I think that could be useful.
Thank you.
In fact, for all of us, that 15 minute of non-productive time to just be, to be a human being, and to kind of rest and recharge is probably the hardest assignment I've ever given anyone. Because we're so used to being productive and busy all the time. And resilience is not about working 16-hour days. That's called insanity, not resilience. Resilience is about moving forward, then resting and recharging, moving forward a little bit more, and knowing when good enough is enough. And that's what keeps propelling you forward, because you're recharging. And if I could give an example, because I think that this is going to help us. I mean, nobody would expect to drive their car without gas. We take much better care of our cars and our dogs than we take care of ourselves. And especially in times like these ones, we need that self-care. And self-care is not a bubble bath or a massage. This is cosmetic self-care. Self-care is about supporting yourself with what you need in order to keep at your best, to be showing up. So it could be as simple as what I asked Elaine to do, go outside, fresh air, natural light, look at the world, look at life outside. Mm-hmm. It could be get enough sleep. It could be structure your day, close the door to work after 5 or 5:30. It could be take a moment for yourself and just, you know, enjoy a book and try to make this life as enjoyable and normal as possible. Even though there's a lot of anxiety, you can either go all out and fuel that anxiety, or you can pull back from it and take a moment and calm yourself down. And then look at what you can do to make this day, this moment better. This moment right now, today, matters. What you choose to do today is taking you on a path. It's actually building the next day as well. So if today you choose to obsess over news, to spend your time feeling anxious, and you don't get some sleep tonight, then tomorrow is going to be worse. And you're going to be more demotivated. And you're going to be more anxious. But on the other hand, you actually have take that moment and say, hey, I'm not going there. That's useless. That's not going to improve anything. Worrying about something is not going to change. I can't change the future by worrying enough. That doesn't work. Sorry. But what I can do today, and then to actually, how can I make today a little bit better? Small steps. Thank you. Someone else? Question, comment?
Merci, Catherine.
My pleasure.
Hello, Catherine. Hi, this is Ivana. I wanted to ask you a question a couple of minutes ago, and then you started talking about this, and I just thought that it's like so on topic of what I'm thinking about, because I was thinking about asking you a question about kind of managing your expectations that you have of yourself. Mm-hmm. I guess this time is making me feel like I should be paddling faster, doing more, trying to get ahead. and I know that when I do go for that walk or I take time and I, you know, knit, because this is something that I find really relaxing, or, you know, I just sit in the backyard for like half an hour, this makes me feel so much more recharged and more motivated and happier just generally about life. But it's just funny that we have these blocks where self-care is a difficult thing to do, at least for me, it is. It's difficult. It's like I feel like I'm somehow wasting time or being lazy, and it's such a, like, I guess it's like a mindset of trying to accept and acknowledge the fact that you need self-care, and like you said, it's not a bubble bath, it's whatever you need to recharge. Mm-hmm. And it's just I'm trying to learn how to do that, because I find that to be quite challenging to actually take care of yourself. But when I've done it, it always feels better, and it always it's refueling. So yeah, I just wanted to make that comment.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because you're saying that, and I don't know you, so I'm just going to open up if you want a conversation, so maybe someone else will feel that this is for them as well. Mm-hmm. You know, especially when talking about managing expectations, sometimes, especially in times like this, it's almost like we have those, what I call our own, what's our value added inside of us? I don't know if you understand, but I'm not talking about our values at large. I'm talking about when you show up in the world, what's your value added? What do you add to the world? And sometimes the way we see our value added, and I've met some clients like this, is they see their value added as that they could make everything just so. They could make everything just perfect if only they would do more and work harder and push themselves more and make everything perfect right around them so that the whole world, they could fix the world by being more perfect and pushing. And then whenever they sit down, they really feel that they've just, you know, their value is not there anymore. And I would suggest that you start wondering, asking yourself, and I'm not necessarily about you, Ivana, but anyone who's listening in, you know, how do you define your value? Because your value is not about doing more. It's not about fixing the world. You know, what is your value in the world? And to actually start it and start to recognize that you are a human being. You are not a superpower, no matter what we believe, no matter what we've been taught. In our society, we have, especially women, we've been trained to believe we're superpowers. We can do it all. We can have, you know, 5 kids and a full career as a CEO and have a, you know, a side fitness, you know, business and to look great, you know, all of these, this is not life. This is life, living life from an external perspective, totally feeling that if we're not showing up and being that superpower, people are going to judge us as not being enough. And if you're familiar with the work of Brené Brown, who is a social research specialist, who has been doing a lot of research in terms of shame and vulnerability, what women feel about shame is often feeling that people can see the little kind of things that are not as perfect in terms of how we do things. And especially in moments of disruptions like this, these circumstances right now, our natural tendency, natural acquired tendency of being a superpower would come, you know, galloping through it, because we want to fix that world and we are going to do more and get ahead no matter what. And so when we talk about self-care, it's really important that to know that this is about rest and recharge. It's never about wasting time. It's not about laziness. It's about taking care of us as a fully alive human being. And it's to make that self-care enjoyable. You know, self-care is not about being saintly and saying, I'm going to eat seaweed and drink green tea and do yoga every day, even if I hate every minute of it. That's not self-care. That's self-hatred. Self-care is about doing something that is both good for you and enjoyable. And we live in a society where we've learned that whatever tastes good is bad for you, and whatever tastes bad is good for you, which is really, if you look at this, pretty messed up. So we really want to get away from that saintly perspective that we need to discipline ourselves and structure days in that very perfectionist way. No, that's not at all what I'm talking about. I'm talking about let's give ourselves time and to take care of ourselves in a respectful way, to take care of our personal life and our family in a respectful way, and take care of work in a certain respectful way, and actually keep a healthy separation between all those three areas. But managing expectation, usually the hardest bust is ourself. So if you're in business with yourself, your business is probably your baby. And this is it's really hard to close the door and say, I'm not going to answer the phone or a call or the email after hours. I'm going to actually take a break and not look at this. And we need to in order to keep going. So thank you, Ivana. I really appreciate what you said and your comment. Thank you.
Thank you as well.
Someone else. How could you make this week better? What do you appreciate about these moments right now that you didn't have time for before? Look at the demands on you right now. How could you make this day today easier on you?
Hi, Catherine. This is Susan.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for doing this. One of the things that I've really come to appreciate that I've been seeing and have started doing also is when people are, like, I see people really reaching out to others and offering to help. Mm-hmm. And to show appreciation. And so, like, that's something that after seeing that, it's made me want to be giving more. And with doing that, I feel like I'm gaining energy from it. So that's something that I'm going to be doing this week.
Hmm. Thank you. Thanks, Susan. Yeah. Yeah. I believe that, especially when things are very uncertain, there is a tendency to actually protect ourselves and very much keep things for us. You know, the toilet paper thing was a good example. Everybody goes going out as if toilet paper was never ever going to exist on the face of the earth again. And yet, on the other hand, right now what's going on is people need help. You know, some people I know have lost their job overnight. And, you know, in our local communities, you know, our hairdresser, the local barber, wherever you get your massage therapy, the little place where you have your little local cafe where you're going to have a latte on Saturday. You know, maybe you have a house cleaner. your babysitter or your daycare worker, these people are out of a job right now as we speak. If they had a business, it's shut down. These people need your help. They really need your help. And I'm talking about, you know, register for or pay forward, pay ahead of time your next massage. Book a few massages ahead of time, even if you only take them 8 months from now. You know, register for personal training for when this is over. Register for dance classes. You know, some instructors or teachers have converted their classes to virtual, or for yoga classes right now. All of those people right now are kind of saying, oh my God, I'm losing my business, I'm losing my livelihood, and they need help. This help can be very much with money, and it could be in a way that you're offering it to people and ask them to pay it forward, because a lot of people are very reluctant to accept help right now because they don't want to feel needy. And by the way, if you can't feel needy when there is a pandemic that is worldwide, when can you feel needy, really, right? Okay, so this is the time. But it's offering help, and it's making people comfortable in accepting it by offering them to pay it forward. Maybe not in money, but in a service. Maybe they will then cut hair of someone who couldn't pay them. And it's really building community, because otherwise, when this is over and when we get into a new normal, our community is not going to be there for us. So we need to be there for them now. And so reaching out could be as simple as, I've taken, you know, food to my mom-in-law who's just been diagnosed with breast cancer, is not going to get surgery. And just being there and talking on the phone with her and being present and you know, it's whatever you feel like is going to build that sense of people needing and feeling supported. And that goes the other way around. It's about you asking for help now and accepting help if it's offered, rather than saying, no, I'm good. No, don't do that. I'm good. I'm strong. And allow yourself to be vulnerable and allow yourself to receive help and to build a sense of community instead of distancing. So this takes us to maybe one more question, and then we'll have to wrap it up. So if anyone else has a question or a comment or something to bring. Mm-hmm. Rosemary, were you talking?
Sorry, to myself.
Oh, to yourself. Okay, good to know. Thank you. Yeah.
I feel reinforced by what you've said, that what I'm doing is right.
Good. I'm happy to hear that. Yeah. Good. Thank you.
So do I, and thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank you. So I guess as a conclusion, what I'd like to bring is basically we've been handed, cards. You know, it's like you're playing poker and you've been given a hand, and basically all you can do is play your hand the best you can. You can't allow yourself to be, oh, well, I don't have a good hand, because you could totally win with the cards you have in your hand. So what I want to leave with you is to take control over what you can, and to build your energy and motivation by getting enough rest and recharge. To not expect that you're going to resolve everything, that give yourself a break and allow yourself to be good enough instead of trying to aim for perfection. Believe in yourself. You matter. On your to-do list, you should be number one, not number 397. Believe that what you do now is essential. It's a moment of intense growth, and it builds you and your family for your future. Be kind to yourself. Be kind, be generous with yourself. Generous in time, generous in giving you what you need instead of living in the margins or living with a few drops. So I want to thank you very much for being here with me today. Thank Aunt Amy for being here and taking care of the logistics. I very much appreciate it, Amy.
Thank you, Catherine.
I'm starting next week as well, a longer resilience course. So what we did today is more like a very short intro. I'm doing a resilience 101, which is about self-care for a period of three weeks, 2 hours a week. It is offered on ILCT. If you want to dig deeper into the topic, if you feel this is something that could work for you, this is a course you might be interested in taking. I also offer a coaching for personal resilience coming up in next September, which I offer every year, which is really about how do you coach people to actually become more resilient personally. I offer other courses for ILCT or all resilience connected. And so it's been a privilege being here today and listening and hopefully leaving you with something that you can work with. If you're interested, please contact me. I published a couple of blog posts in the past couple of weeks that are literally the conversation today in terms of what we can do and how can we can improve ourselves, our ability to go to get through this and thrive. And you can find it at www.imaginepluspluscom. And thank you very much to all of you. And stay safe.
Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Stay well.
Thank you. I will. You too.